Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. It's been a long time since we've had National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg on the program, but like the second coming of Christ, Mike had to have a return of his own. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Well, Bob, glad to be back. As usual, it's a slow news week.
It's been a slow news week for like the last 5-6 years now.
Yeah, exactly. So I was trying to figure out what to talk about, and I managed to come up with a few topics. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You must have really had to scrape the barrel.
I did have
to find something in the news these days.
And I thought I'd do something original that we haven't talked about before. You know, maybe we might talk a little bit about some of the newest developments on the COVID front.
Oh, yeah. We've never talked about that on the air, have we, Mike?
And then something that's been in the news quite a bit, you know, since late January is the whole business with the truckers in Ottawa and Canada and
yes, with the benevolent dictator up there in Canada.
Yes, Justin Trudeau, who, by the way, is not Castro's love child.
Is that just one of those rumors out there? Yeah, I'd heard that.
Yeah,
apparently
he's not, but it's out there.
In terms of his policy, though, I guess he could have fooled a lot of people.
So, as of right now, they brought in, they have a new police chief in Ottawa. And they had been bringing in lots and lots of police officers from other surrounding areas, and they have been arresting and starting to tow trucks out.
Yeah, and yet he kissed the behinds of the BLM protests, which were violent, and he's trying to make this peaceful one violent, and when it's violent, he calls it peaceful.
We have seen incredible consistency for the last couple of years, and it has been consistent. Basically, if you are—
Consistently inconsistent.
If you're a movement that's considered part of the woke, part of the progressive, you're treated with kid gloves— And you can basically do just about anything. You can burn down buildings, and they're talking about—
Well, and they'll even say speaking against the violence is the real violence. The real evil is speaking against our righteous cause. They just change the price tags on everything.
So I'd say that there's been tremendous consistency. It's been unfair. It's been unjustified, but it's been very consistent. So they're starting to move them out there. So the question comes down to is, you know, with all the images we've seen and the distortion in the media— You know, what are the Canadian people going to put up with Justin Trudeau? And has he been damaged to the point where he's not reelectable? I kind of think he has, but you never know.
Well, they are not as free of a country as we are, and look at all the freedoms and rights we've laid aside in the United States. Yep. That doesn't give me a lot of hope for Canada, although I should say these Canadian truckers are certainly offering some hope.
Yeah, they are fighting, and the thing is that they're just fighting against all the draconian measures that Canada's put in place because, in reality, 90% of the truckers are vaccinated.
So even truckers that have been vaccinated are part of this convoy?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No.
So they're protesting on behalf of their friends who don't want to get vaccinated?
It's not just the vaccine mandates and the regulations at the borders that, say you have to show proof of vaccine to cross back and forth. It's the other thing. It's the mask mandates. It's setting down the schools. For example— with the new wave of the Omicron, that parts of Canada started to shut down the schools again.
That is interesting, Mike, because I think most people listening had been under the impression that it was pretty much about the truckers being commanded to be vaccinated.
It is.
Or maybe it started with that and it's branched out to more since then?
It's a major element. They are vaccinated, overwhelmingly 90%, at least that's what is being reported, but they don't believe in the vaccine mandates, and they probably don't want at this point in time, they're looking around, and, they're probably saying, hey, I'm not seeing the benefit of these booster shots, for Omicron, for a vaccine that was developed to fight against, the original. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. It's been peaceful. They've had a lot of support from the Ottawan people, and as per usual, you really have a hard time getting the real story if you just stick to the, CNN, MSNBC, the Canadian news networks aren't, some of them aren't obviously very good either. So I'm hopeful that the reaction from the government, this overreach by implementing the war, the War Powers Act, the Emergency War Power Act, Emergency War Powers
Amazing.
Act.
Amazing. A convoy of truckers.
Yeah.
That's an emergency.
Yeah. That will be seen as a bridge too far for the bulk of the Canadian people. And then the next thing, and I don't see any signs that they're doing this, but, what if the Canadian truckers, in support of their fellow protesters, just said, hey, we're going to stay at home and protest?
Yeah, and then just not ship anything. What do they think they'll do then?
Well, that, at that point in time,
that seems to me that might be a wiser strategy.
That would be a knockout blow. I mean, you would just be completely shut down. And what would you do? I mean, it would be very.
We're dealing with a little of that now. We have kind of a shortage right now because some of our truckers and people paid to unload ships are not vaccinated, and not to that degree. But we're experiencing a little of that right now.
Well, we're also experiencing. We've been experiencing healthcare workers, you know, nurse shortages. In fact, I think it was the Los Angeles. City of Los Angeles, I believe it was emergency workers, people that said that they were not going to get vaccinated. They said, well, we're going to start a process to fire you, but because we have a shortage right now, we're going to delay that process. But once our shortage and once we hire enough people, then we're going to fire you. I mean, can you believe they actually sent out a letter saying that? We don't have enough people yet to fire you, but we are going to fire you.
And why in the world would someone be motivated to come back to work with that kind of dictate?
I have no idea. I mean, it's craziness. So it's been very encouraging, and they've generally been, you know, it's been very peaceful and very inspiring for a lot of Americans. And I'm, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, that the inspiration, you know, there's been truckers and protests in France and others throughout the world. There's even talks of it maybe happening here. But somebody brought up a very interesting point, is that one of the reasons we may not have seen some of these types of protests here in the United States is in the red states, we have stopped these kind of mandates from happening. The red state governors have stopped from happening. And that's where the people that live that would be most likely to protest.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah.
And where the blue states, which are, you know, more dominated by more of the Democrat mindset, which sadly that seems to be the break here, you know, they're not going to protest anyway. And you're not going to get the support. So the places where you would expect to see the support, they don't need to protest.
Yeah, in many ways, each of our individual states operates like its own country. In fact, that's the way our whole nation was set up originally.
Yeah, so that is actually showing, you know, some of the brilliance of the founding fathers. You know, that's the and of course the whole foundation for this is the COVID-19 policy. You know, which we started off with 2 weeks to, you know, flatten the curve, right?
15 days. That's 15 what we were days, told we could days. Do this in just 15 days.
And then we were told one and done. Right, remember that?
I don't remember that one.
When a dentist, you just get the vaccine.
Oh,
completely immunized. you won't get it anymore, and you won't be able to transmit it.
And they
kept
moving the goalposts. First, it was to flatten the curve. Then we have to completely eradicate this disease so that it never exists again, as if that's ever happened in history.
It's never happened in history. And one of the rationales, and there was other rationales, but one of the rationales is that we looked at China and said, look, China was able to do it. They were able to shut down COVID-19 using these lockdown procedures, you know, and then the rest of the world tried to emulate that and failed miserably. So a couple comments on that. Number one is China pre-COVID-19, every year we report something like, oh, we had 30 deaths from the flu. Oh, a year ago we had, and that was a big, you know, and we had a 60 deaths from the flu this year. But literally, those are the numbers we're talking about from China. 30 deaths from the flu, 60 deaths from the flu, which anybody knows that is completely and utterly ridiculous. That is fake, 100% fake. So why would we trust a country of 1.2 billion people that reports, you know, 30 to 60 deaths from the flu
annually?
Also,
when the virus first broke, China sure wasn't shutting things down. They shut down the city of Wuhan, but they kept their borders open and spread this thing all over the world, hoping it would go to the United States.
During the period when they were actually implementing internal shutdowns in their own country, hundreds of thousands of people flew out of the Wuhan area to all parts of the world. So, yeah, definitely that was, you know, I mean, and of course, we were also told that it was crazy to even think that the virus originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And now, the preponderance of the evidence, there's still people dragging their feet, but people are starting to pretty much, within probably 4 to 5 months, people will come around. What was very obvious back to people following it, I remember back and looking at the data back in April, thinking to myself, the simplest explanation in April of 2020 was that it came from the Institute. They were studying the same kinds of viruses. It started in that area. The bat they were talking about possibly transmitting it, you know, the closest, you know, natural habitat for the bat was 800 miles away. So the simplest explanation was always the Institute.
And it was a politically motivated decision to take out Trump. They didn't even have to make it that lethal. They knew that if it was just a little bit dangerous, the Democrats would try to shut our whole country down. They knew what they were doing.
And then a number, I think it was 27 scientists, some of them who had said that it looked like it was an engineered virus, but after some pressure from some various sources, and some people think it was the National Institutes for Health, which provides a huge amount of money for funding for studies, came up with that letter and saying, oh, no, it's natural. Anybody who thinks differently is crazy. Well, now they know that, I forget the gentleman's name, but the guy that instituted this letter actually was one of the key people getting funding to do the gain-of-function research that was being done, gain-of-function research in China.
And pretty much they've proven that Fauci was involved in that.
Yeah, and he was involved in that too. So we've been misled all the way along there.
Mike, I'm hearing people say that we should just go on wearing masks indefinitely, even if it isn't COVID.
Well, I mean,
I know somebody personally who's saying that she believes everybody should wear a mask just for the rest of their lives. Joy Behar, not that we should be too concerned what she says, but she came on, said she wants to just keep wearing a mask all the time. She doesn't want to catch a flu or a cold. And I think that's going to spread. I think that idea is going to, I think Fauci would love that. I think Fauci would encourage that in a heartbeat. He's the guy that says we should never shake hands again.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But the one thing to keep in mind is the big trumpeting of, wow, they're relaxing the masks.
It goes back and forward, though. We've relaxed them before in California and then brought them back several times now.
But the thing that's the underlying thing that sometimes gets lost, it's the government who is saying, okay, we're now going to let you not wear a mask.
Yeah, as if that was their right to take away from us in the first place.
So basically, they're not relinquishing. They have set a precedent. There's no sign that they're walking away from the president. Their president is they can tell you when to wear masks. They can shut down restaurants. They can shut down businesses. They can do anything. And they have not backed off on any of those precedents whatsoever.
Right. And they'll move us four steps backwards and then go one or two steps forward to delude us into thinking they're being benevolent.
Well, yeah. So anyway, then they're going to micromanage things. You know, so we're saying, well, yeah, you can, they still have, you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. You know, things like that.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.